For I am a fountain of life to you. You can drink in my life. You can drink in my love. You can drink in my joy. You can drink in my peace. Whatever it is that you need in your life, drink it in from my presence. Drink it in from my goodness. For the life in you is a wellspring that springs up into eternal life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, what does God have planned on a Wednesday night? Nothing but goodness. Coming up for the ladies, this Saturday is going to be Woven at 10 a.m. Woven is Women of Victory Enjoying New Life. So if you're a woman of victory and you enjoy new life, then come on Saturday and fellowship of like-minded women. And there'll be a powerful teaching, great fellowship, and always a good time. And then Saturday evening, our marriage fellowship is going to meet at 6 p.m. So if you're a married couple, you can come and build your marriage up. It's going to be a good time. And as always tonight, you know, you can give anytime during the service. And this thought was kind of dropped into me tonight. You know, often people give because they know that the Lord's going to bless them. But think about it this way. What are you going to miss if you don't give? You know, a plant only grows if seed's in the ground, right? So you never want to miss an opportunity to give to God. So let me just pray over our offering tonight. You can give it in the back. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise that we can bring our gifts to you and honor you and bless you. And Lord, we thank you that you multiply them and always you have good things planned. So Father, we just give in faith because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Aren't you glad that we can access God? You know, we're talking about tuning into God's frequency. And how many has ever tried to find, you want something on the radio and you knew it was out there, but you just had a hard time tuning into it, right? But in order to find the station that has the information that you want to hear, you got to tune into it. And so if we want to hear from God, we got to make adjustments in our life. You know, making adjustments is like tuning the dial on the radio, right? Those little adjustments produce big results, don't they? And just want to read three quick scriptures. In Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Aren't you glad that we have peace through God? Or peace with God through Jesus Christ. And it says, verse 2 says, "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So we can access God's grace. Anybody need grace? You know, grace is God's ability. It's his goodness. It's his favor. You know what? We need grace every day. And God has given us access to this grace. And then the second scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Ephesians 2, verse 18, it says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Aren't you glad that the Father is accessible to you? And with the Spirit's help, what does he do? He draws you to the Father. You know, he calls you to the Father. He called you by name. He called us out of darkness and into his light, didn't he? So we have access into his grace. We have access to the Father. And the third scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 3. And that's verse 12. Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. You know, we can confidently come before God's throne. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. And as I thought about having access to God, there was an individual in the Bible that came to my mind. And this individual, he found a way to access God like no one else. And why don't you go with me to Genesis chapter 5. And I want to talk a little bit about a person who so tuned into God's frequency. He got so tuned into God, he drew so close to God, he came so near to God that God took him. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You get so close to God, and then one moment you're here, and the next moment you're not, because you're with God. All right, his name is Enoch. And in Genesis chapter 5, we'll go down to verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Let's say that for a moment. Let's say that together. Say, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Now, can you walk with God? Is there some special person that it takes to walk with God? You know, God is so cool that he wants to walk with you. And when things get rough, when things of life get rough, when you're walking with God, he'll hold you by the hand. When you're entering into a dark place, he'll be your light. When you can't find your way, he'll be your way. When you need help to get over any trouble or trial, what's he going to do? He's going to be right there to help you. Okay? So Enoch walked with God. And he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, Enoch didn't start walking with God till he was 65. That's hope for some of us. Right? You may have got started walking with God late, but you can still finish strong. Okay? Now, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. If his days were 365 years, and he started walking with God at 65, so he walked with God 300 years, right? Now, that's pretty consistent, wouldn't you say? He walked with God the majority of his life, okay? So there must be something about walking with God that helps us to connect with God, okay? Now look at verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want you to get this picture. Enoch, he's walking with God. He has a relationship with God. Him and God have communication. Him and God have intimacy. Him and God have fun. You mean walking with God can be fun? Absolutely. There's no one more fun than God. I mean, God likes to party. God likes to laugh. God rejoices over you with joy. God gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's no doubt that God likes to have fun. So Enoch was walking with God. Him and God were hanging out. They were fellowshipping. But he got so close to God. He got so in tune with God. He tuned in. He got the most clearest frequency to God. And he was not. Now let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just building you up. It's going to get really good in here. Because I was going to go a different route. But then God said, no, you take this ramp here. He didn't say that. He just changed my direction. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. In other words, he was here and then he wasn't. How did he do that? Because he was so good? Because he was so cool? How did he do it? What does Hebrews 11, 5 say? By what? By faith. Can you operate in faith? Okay. We can operate in faith just like Enoch did. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him or taken him up. For before his translation, he had this testimony. What was Enoch's testimony? Come on, help me out. He pleased God. Is it possible for us to please God? Can we find out what pleases God so much and consume our life with what pleases God? Now, if you read it, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Enoch. But if you read about Enoch, you'll discover that he was seventh from Adam. When Enoch was alive, for a brief time, Adam was alive also. So Enoch perhaps got to meet Adam because he was seventh from Adam. He was the seventh person from Adam. If you read the genealogies, count it. He was seventh from Adam. Even Jude 15 says Enoch was seventh from Adam. Okay? Now, what is Adam known for besides getting us into a mess? What's he known for? What did him and God do? God would come down in the cool of the day and he would walk and talk with Adam. Now, something happened when Methuselah was born. Something happened in Enoch's life where all of a sudden he had an epiphany and he got connected to God when Methuselah was born. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't give us the details about what happened. But from that moment on, from the moment of Methuselah's birth, his daddy Enoch began to walk with God, began to have a relationship with God, and he found how to please God. He tuned in to God's frequency like no other. So there must be something about how we walk and how we could walk that could cause us to tune into God's frequency. Did you know that your walk is how you live? And tuning into God's frequency is related to your walk. If Enoch walked with God and his testimony, what a testimony! What's your testimony? Anybody got a testimony? Yeah, I got a testimony. What's your testimony? I please God. Whoa, you please God? What happened? I please God so much that he took me. Imagine, we're going to get to hear Enoch's testimony when we get to heaven. We're going to find out. Now, there are some things that the Bible tells us to walk in. Anybody want to know what they are? Okay, that's a few of you. Come on, show me some excitement. Okay, Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. We'll just all look at the screen together. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in what? In the newness of life. Did you know that when you meet Christ, your life goes from being old to new in just a moment? Just like that. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go from being dead to alive. You pass from death to life because you accept the Son. So God wants us to walk in the newness of life. We need to live like we're a new person. Amen? What does that mean? That means the bad things we used to do should stop. And we should start doing some different things, some new things. God is into new things. Why? He's a creator. He loves, any creator loves to create something new, right? They love to make something and design something and make it new. Well, we, as believers, we need to walk in the newness of life. What does that mean? We need to live for God day by day, moment by moment. How easy it is to walk. You put one foot in front of the other. We're supposed to walk in the newness of life. All right? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but what? So, another thing that we're supposed to walk in is we're supposed to walk after the Spirit. Now, before we met Jesus Christ, you know what dominated us? This flesh body dominated us. Our feelings, our emotions, anything associated with our body governed our actions. You want to do this today? I don't feel like doing it today. You know what dominates a person is when the alarm clock goes off. Your flesh wants to say, snooze, snooze, right? Maybe your flesh wants to throw it across the room. I don't know. But now that when you come to Christ, you got to walk after the Spirit. As many as are led by who? The Spirit. They are the sons of God. So now you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life. You want to know what pleases the Father? Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. He knows exactly what pleases the Father. It's His Spirit. But, you know, I'm glad that the Bible says that this is a walk. A walk may be slow, but it'll get you there. A walk in the Bible represents your life, how you live. We're supposed to live after the Spirit. We're supposed to let the Spirit of God dominate. In other words, we have to become familiar with the Spirit. We have to know His voice. You can't be led by Him unless you know His voice. He's got a voice. He lives on the inside of us. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in you, and then there's an added dimension when you get baptized in the Spirit. That gives you power. So we're supposed to walk in the newness of life. We're supposed to walk according to the Spirit. Enoch walked with God. So there must be something to walking with God. Enoch found a way to please God. He lived according to his relationship with God. Things changed in his life when he met God. Something happened in Enoch's life. And he got so close to God. He got so in tune with God. He got so in sync with God. It was like they became one. Well, isn't that what Jesus said? I and the Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How many want to get so close to Jesus that you talk like him, you think like him, and you act like him? Let's be little Jesuses. What do I mean by that? Listen, we can follow his example. Jesus will teach you how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be a good brother, how to be a good sister, how to be a good sibling, how to be a good child, how to be a good employee, how to treat people, how to love your neighbor. The Bible teaches us these things. But then we got to walk in it. Walking in these things means putting them into practice in our lives. Another thing that we got to walk in, go to Romans 13. Romans 13:13. I just began to look through the New Testament to see what it said about how we should walk. If Enoch walked with God and he found a way to please God, then we can walk like God wants us to walk. We can live like God wants us to live, and we can please him too. Romans 13, 13. Let us walk, how? Honestly, as in the day, not in rioting, excuse me, not in drunkenness, not in chambering, and not in wantonness, not in strife and envying. Let me read this from another translation. It'll help give us light. The New Living Translation says, we should be decent and true in everything we do, so that everyone can approve of our behavior. Don't participate in wild parties and getting drunk, or in adultery and immoral living, or in fighting and jealousy. Those are good things to avoid, aren't they? But let, this is verse 14, but let the Lord Jesus Christ take control of you, and don't think of ways to indulge your evil desires. So the way that we're supposed to live in Christ is we're supposed to live our lives openly. We should be an open book. When Jesus was on the cross, did they cover him up? No, actually, he was exposed. He was there for everyone to see. And do you know what? When you have nothing to hide in your life, you can live confidently and free. But it's when we cover up things, when we gotta hide things, that we live in bondage. Living honestly is living freely. We're supposed to live above reproach. Doesn't the Bible teach us that? Live in such a way so that the preacher don't have to lie at your funeral. That's a t-shirt I saw. But I just threw that in there for fun. Go to 1 Corinthians 7:17. 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone. Who did the Lord call? Everyone. Every one of us is responsible to walk how the Lord wants us to walk. So let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. We're supposed to walk according to our calling. Well, what has God called you to? That's your overall purpose, but then God called us to be holy, doesn't he? He said, be holy for I am holy. How are we going to walk holy? Well, we got to do what he did. But we're supposed to walk in our calling. In other words, don't try to be someone you're not. You know, the Bible has a story about King Saul. And Samuel told Saul, I'm going to be gone, but in the seventh day, I'm coming back. And Samuel said, wait for me. Don't do anything until I get back. Well, the seventh day came, and Samuel didn't show up. So Saul was kind of feeling pressured. Anybody feel pressured? And you know, sometimes when you act out of pressure, you're going to make the wrong decision. That's why we have to develop patience and long-suffering. Because what Saul got impatient. And what did he do? He led the people in a sacrifice. Now, he was the king, yes, but he was not the priest. He tried to be something he wasn't. And that was the beginning of his downfall. Because Samuel then came. He might have not come in the morning, he might have not come in the evening, but he came on the seventh day. He just didn't come in the time frame that Saul thought. And Saul was pressured by the people. He blamed it on the people. But that was, you know, you can read that story in 1 Samuel. All right, go to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8. We're talking about how we walk, because how we walk will determine how we connect with God. How you live is important. What you do in this life is important. 2 Corinthians 5, we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Listen, the life that we live now, it's got to be lived by faith in God. What does that mean? When you live in faith, you're letting the Word of God govern your actions, your words, and your thoughts. You're letting the Word of God tell you how you should behave. You're behaving like the Word of God says. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by what? Sight. Sight has to do with our senses, okay? When a person is sick, what does the Bible say about sickness? Let's just take Isaiah 53:5. How many know what Isaiah 53:5 says? By his stripes, I'm healed. Okay? So, when you're walking by faith and not by sight, you have this sickness in your body. You have whatever the sickness is causing, pain or whatever. Okay? How do you receive healing? You receive healing because you believe what God said about it. And how do you believe what God said about it? Is because you start saying what God said about it. So if you believe that by his stripes you're healed, you don't need any other evidence to tell you that you're healed other than by his stripes I am healed. See, a person who walks by faith makes that a declaration. Because you're saying the very same thing that God said, and when we say the same thing that God says, we get his results. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Well, I'll believe it when I'm healed. No, it doesn't work that way. If you're waiting till the healing manifests, you're not in faith. Because faith has to do with the unseen, not the seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. So we got to walk by faith, not by sight. Why do you do what you do? Because I believe God. I mean, being a pastor was not my life's goal, but one day God told me that's what he wanted of me. I was about 19 years old when I discovered what God wanted me to do. So from that point on, everything I did in my life was to bring that about. Because it took me 19 years to figure out what God wanted me to do. But when I figured out what he wanted me to do, I went and did it with all my heart. I made myself available. And I don't come from a line of preachers. My dad sold insurance. Has nothing to do with preaching whatsoever. The closest thing I have in my family of preaching is two of my grandfather's brothers were auctioneers. But, listen, you got to walk by faith. You can't walk by what you feel. Feelings change. Faith doesn't change. Faith in God is always steady, sure. Faith isn't a roller coaster. Faith is cruising altitude where there's no turbulence. You know, someone who's in faith, they're going to show signs of peace and joy even when there's trouble. Like Paul and Silas, I mean, they lived by faith because they were in prison, in the dungeon, and at midnight they decided to praise God instead of complain about their chains. That's when you know when someone's in faith, when they do the opposite of what their feelings would say. Okay? Are we getting this? Is it building us? See, why am I saying this? Because these are ways that we can connect with God, that we can tune into his frequency. Isn't it interesting how God came and walked in this earth and he showed us how to live a successful life? What are you going to do when 5,000 people show up for dinner? You're going to put it in the hands of the master and let him multiply it. What are you going to do when storms show up in your life? You can rise up and you can rebuke the wind and say, peace be still, and calm the storms. We can do what Jesus did. We can, faith is practical. We can actually do and say what he did and have his results. That's what the Bible is all about. Go to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. Say this with me. Say, I'm God's masterpiece. Why should you say that? That word workmanship means masterpiece. God took time to create you. God is the only one who knows how many hairs are on your head. Can you think about that? God knows how many hairs are on your head. Anybody that takes that much detail must really like you. To take time to count all the hairs. Okay, you're his workmanship. You were created in Christ Jesus, or you could say you were recreated in Christ Jesus because you made a new creature. Unto good works which God has before ordained so that we should what? God wants you to walk in good works. What's a good work? A good work is anything that God plans for you. Remember God said to Jeremiah, that I have plans that are going to what? Prosper you and not to harm you. God doesn't want to harm you. God is not the author of harm. He's the author of good. Say this with me. Say, God is good. Say this. Say, God is good to me. He is. Anything good in your life can be traced back to God. Anything bad in your life can be traced to the devil. Because the devil's the author of bad. Good God, bad devil. Right? If something bad happened into your life, it wasn't God, it was the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. But we're supposed to walk in good works. Did you know that these good works were prepared before you were here? While you were incubating in your mama's womb, God had works for you to do. He had special assignments for you to do. He put his assignments in your DNA. And God created you for a specific purpose to do what you were assigned to do. I was assigned to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was assigned to help people find their inheritance and their treasure in God's word. That's my assignment. And if you've heard me, hopefully you've discovered some of your treasure. There's lots to discover. But that's my passion. I get really excited when people start walking in the promises in their own life. I get excited when people get born again, when they get filled with the Holy Ghost, when they get healed, when they get delivered, when they find out their purpose or find out God's will for their life, when they start doing it. I get excited because that tells me that they're getting their treasure. They're taking God's will and they're laying claim to what he promised them. You were created for good works. Good works. There's something that only God created you to do. And if you try to do anything else, you're going to be second best. Do what you were created to do. Well, how do I find that out? Ask the Father. Paul prayed for the Colossians. He said, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Did you know that God wants to fill you with his will? You know, some of you may have had relatives that you didn't know that you had until a lawyer contacted you and said, Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so left you an inheritance. And what did they do? They brought you to a reading of the will. And it was in the reading of the will that you discovered what's yours. And once you discover what's yours, that gives you the legal right to possess it. Uncle Charlie left me a car. Well, now that I heard what the will is, I can go get my car. But I couldn't get my car until I discovered what Uncle Charlie's will was. But once I discovered it, hallelujah, my dad received an inheritance from his aunt that he did not know that he was included in her will. This was a sizable amount. And with that amount, he helped his kids, and I'm one of them. My daddy helped me because he got an inheritance. And with that inheritance, he used it to help people. That's what God wants you to do. Did you know that the good works that you were assigned to do are going to help people? God's got something good for you to help people in. Find out what's yours and start helping people. Start walking in it. Start doing it. Start living it. Boy, this is good. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in what? Walk in love as Christ loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Oh, if there's something that we need to walk in love. There's two groups where your love is manifested, to God and to people. More importantly, it's to the brethren who love God. We need to walk in love. We need to walk in the love that Christ loved us. That means we don't take account of all the hurts that have been done to us. You're not scoring the chalkboard every time someone's hurt, and you're not bringing that up in your life. Well, they hurt me, they hurt me, they hurt me. Doesn't matter, because here's what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, he thought he was going to get off easy. And he went to Jesus and he said, Master, he said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? And he thought, oh, I could do seven. And then he heard the Lord's response. And Jesus looked at him and smiled. He said, 70 times seven. And I could just picture Peter going like this. Say what? 490 times in a day I'm supposed to forgive people? That's what Jesus said. But do you realize that if we're not walking in love, our faith isn't even operating? Because our faith works by love. If you're struggling in faith, you might want to check your love walk. Maybe you're deficient in love. Walk in love as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? Well, when we were against him, he was loving us. And he was good to us, and it was his goodness that drew us to repentance. When I was a teenager, you know, I got saved when I was 12. But the church that I was part of, they were struggling. And so the pastors left. And I was kind of a sheep without a shepherd. And you know it's not good to be a sheep without a shepherd? When you're a sheep without a shepherd, you can get messed up with wolves or predators. Well, I was in high school. And you know what people who don't know Jesus do in high school? I got with those bunch. And I did things that I shouldn't have done because I was a sheep without a shepherd. But you know what? While I was doing my own thing, God was being gracious to me. He put people in my path that annoyed me. They'd come in all smiling. But I wanted to sin. But these people would come in smiling, talking about Jesus. Don't you? When you're sinning and people are sitting down to you and smiling and talking about Jesus, it irritates you. It gets under your skin. But see, God is trying to reach out to you. He puts those people in your path because what he's doing is he's drawing you back in. He's drawing you to himself. He's giving you an opportunity to change. I was at a party one time. And you know how it is when you're from one school and everybody else there is from another school, it doesn't mix too well. Well, this guy wanted to pick a fight with me. And I told him, I said, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. So he hauled off for no reason. I mean, he hauled off. He went like that, right to my face. I looked at him. I mean, he gave it everything, and I took it. And I said, I'm going to go now, because I was outnumbered. I mean, you're not going to, you got to be wise. You know, it's amazing how you can be stupid and wise in the same moment. I shouldn't have been there in the first place. That was stupid, but it was wise to get out of there. But, you know, it told me too that it was like the devil giving his best, but it didn't work. And it wasn't too long after that that I got my act straightened out. And what happened was I bought a Bible at the Love Shop. The Love Shop was the Christian bookstore in the mall. And I bought my first Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And man, I fell in love with that Bible. I began to read it and read it. I'm on my fifth or sixth one now. That's how much I love Thompson Chain Reference Bibles. But what happened was I fell in love with Jesus again. And when I fell in love with Jesus again, and I received his forgiveness, I found out what he wanted me to do, and I began to walk in it. And I began to walk in love for him and for people. And it changed my life. And when you decide to walk like Jesus wants you to walk, it'll change your life too. But you can't do your own thing and God's thing at the same time. That's like trying to mix oil and water. It doesn't work. You got to be all God or all you. I'll never forget, in my hometown, we have an area that's like a 6-mile-long canal. And over this canal is a train bridge. Now, they didn't use the train bridge anymore, but every once in a while, my friend and I, after I got born again and, you know, after I got my act together, we started witnessing. The very same guy that annoyed me, we started witnessing together. We built up a really good relationship. Isn't that how God works? Well, one night we were just hanging out on this train bridge, and all of a sudden this guy came up, and he was going to kill himself. He was going to jump off the bridge, and it had happened before with some people. Now, they had just built a brand new bridge that was maybe a few miles down, okay? So this guy who came wanted to kill himself, he was drunk. Thank God that God put us there on that bridge at that moment, at that time. And we got to talking to this guy. We got to praying with this guy. And my friend came up with this great solution. He said, look, he said, if you want to kill yourself, you might as well do it big and go to that big bridge. No one's ever been off that bridge. But you know what? That got the man down. We got him turned around, and he went back home that night. He didn't do the harm to himself that he was going to do. You know, you never know. God may lead you to a bridge, and you may not know why you'll be there until someone comes along. And God needs someone who's full of the Holy Ghost that can minister to that person, because we don't know whatever happened to that guy. He didn't kill himself that night. That was a good thing. But thank God we were there. You know, when you fall in love with Jesus, he'll make life an adventure. I mean, it is not boring with God. But I just want to encourage you, fall in love with God. Whatever is keeping you from the relationship with God that he wants with you, why don't we let go of it right now? And why don't we just come to Jesus tonight and say, here I am. Why don't we just surrender all to God and just let him have his way in our life? You'd be surprised at what God can do. He can take your ashes and he can make something beautiful. He makes beauty for ashes. He gives you the joy of oil for mourning. If you've been mourning, you can get an oil change tonight. He can oil your joy gears to make them sound better and work better. But we're supposed to walk in love. And yes, people are going to let you down, but God will never let you down. God is faithful. God wants to touch you tonight. He's here tonight. Let me just end with this. God wants you to walk in the light. He wants you to walk in wisdom. He wants you to walk worthy of Him. Are the things that you do worthy of the Lord? Are the things we say worthy of the Lord? He wants you to walk in Christ. He wants you to walk in wisdom to unbelievers. How many know you got to be wise when you're around unbelievers? You don't want to beat them over the head. You want to love them. I mean, you know, Jesus spent a lot of time in unbelievers' homes eating dinner. But someone always got transformed as a result of his presence being there. You got to walk to please God. You got to walk according to his commandments. And then finally, you got to walk in the truth. It's time to be true with God. Let's get real with God tonight. Yeah, it's a Wednesday night, but God is here. God shows up on Wednesdays. He made it. And he's here because you're here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I am in the midst. So, where do you need to increase your walk tonight? Let's make sure that we're walking on a firm foundation and a lit path. Because the path of the righteous, Proverbs 4 says, gets brighter and brighter as the noonday sun. Do you find your path getting darker or getting brighter? If it's getting darker, you got to change directions. God put a U-turn. It's okay. So if you're here tonight and you need prayer for something, I just want to invite you to come up for prayer, and I'd love to pray for you because I believe God can touch you. I believe God can solve your problems. I believe God can help you. I believe God, He wants to. He wants to share His love with you. And maybe you just need to accept Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. I mean, I grew up Catholic, and all my years of going to the Catholic Church, I never accepted Jesus. I don't have anything bad to say about the Catholics, but there was a time in my life when I met Jesus. I didn't just know about him, but I met him, and he came into my heart. He came into my life, and he's working right now. So you're here tonight, and you're hearing these words, and the Holy Spirit saying, look, you need to improve your walk in this area or that area. He wants to help you. He wants to touch you. So if you need prayer, I want you to come up right now in Jesus' name. I want you to receive from your Father. Receive of the goodness of God. Maybe you just need to come back to Jesus. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know. I just need to know the answer.